welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and it's just a great morning to be here. And I want to thank Rick and Gus for being here with
well,
me.
Well, good
bright,
morning,
bright,
Hebrew
bright
Nation.
Early.
Ola
Gus.
Granola.
Yes.
Ola Granola. What's
Ola
the...
Granola. It's just such a beautiful day. It's been so sunny and clear.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't January in Oregon.
Well,
where
usually
we?
They say in December and January, average of 2 days of sunshine a year. But, man, we're doing a lot better than that, aren't
we? But what's with the granola stuff? I mean, the sun comes out and you want to eat granola.
Well, granola's healthy. The sun is healthy.
Yes, it is.
And I've mixed up a brew of tea this morning. I don't know if you know this. I haven't shared this before, but I grow my own herbs and then some of the wild edibles. Rick, I know you're big on wild edibles.
Oh, yes.
And I make teas out of them after drying. And I believe I've got the best tea I've made yet here.
Really?
Yep. What kind of combo do you have there?
Well, this one has mullein, heels all, oregano. That's, the oregano is good. So mint.
That'll wake you up.
A few other things. Yeah. It's a restorative, a health building, and I really believe it helps me, too.
Yeah. Wow. And it probably gives you some great breath. Thank goodness, right?
I don't know. Come
Hey, we all need that, especially early in the morning.
Yeah, we do.
I believe it'll give you great breath because, I mean, oregano and peppermint are used within toothpaste and that sorts of stuff. And, so my belief system, but I don't know if I want to get too awfully close to you because that might shake my belief system a little bit. I
really?
Don't know.
Why? Because we don't believe the same thing?
Well, maybe that's the case. I mean,
don't believe the same thing?
Well, do you believe like I believe, Rick?
Well, in most things. Of course, we always have areas where we will differ. But as long as we don't compromise the blood of what our Messiah did, right, on our behalf, I think
how did you get to the Messiah when we were talking about toothpaste?
Well,
there's got to be a spiritual connection
back to our Messiah, doesn't it?
I know,
I love
right?
that.
Well, I love that about you, Rick, because you're just such a straight shooter.
Well,
I mean, it's just there.
It's all good, isn't it?
It is all good.
And it's a happy day.
Yes. Mr. Sunshine.
Never change.
Well, this morning we are going to be talking a little bit about belief. What actually gets you going? What rocks your world to actually move forward in something? And could your belief ever be challenged?
Well, and maybe another way to state that question is:
tell me,
do our beliefs or does our belief get in the way of our faith?
Oh, I like that one.
We got to define faith too.
Okay, so say that again.
Does our belief or do our beliefs get in the way of our faith?
Wow. I didn't ever think of that before.
Belief and faith, though, don't they kind of go hand in hand?
I don't know. Inquiring minds, once again, want to know.
Questions.
And you would call in at 503-589-1220.
Yes.
Or if you're not live, you can also get a hold of us via email at the number 3.
WiseGuys@HebrewNation.net.
Yes.
Oh, it's the number 3 wise guys at
HebrewNation.net.
You got it. And you can call in on the conversation because this show, it's not a show. It's a conversational piece. And we want to know. I mean, whenever we meet in the morning, we're actually searching these things out ourselves.
Oh, man.
And so I like the stuff that I learned from Rick and from Gus and our guests and stuff. Like, did I just do something really funny? I looked at Gus and I said, Rick. And then I looked at you and go, no, No, I said it the opposite.
We're sitting on the other side, so it's always reversed to us.
Yeah.
So I don't
it's
know
left that. And right, right and left. But left and right does affect things, because Rick was asking, does belief affect faith? Does faith affect belief? I think possibly they could.
Ooh, yeah, I'll have to trust that people will call in and help us on this conversation.
I believe people will call in.
At 503-589-1220.
There you go.
Do you have faith that people will call in?
I believe people will call in.
I'm trusting that they will. But, of course, my expectations may be different. As you can see, this is going to be a rather interesting conversation.
Yes.
And as always, we need your help. Because even though we really enjoy, you know, working off of each other and feeding off each other, we know that we have to start by feeding off of and with Him. Mm-hmm. And, Rick, that means it's
great.
Your cue.
Yes. Father, precious Abba, King Messiah, Jesus Yeshua, we just thank you. We thank you for this time. Father, we gather in your name. You are our foundation. You are the chief cornerstone of our belief. And we just thank you in advance of what you're doing as you're gathering your people to the furthest parts of the earth. And Father, we thank you in advance that that you're going to allow us, help us to get out of the way and allow your heart to go forth to your people, Father, that we'll all be energized and strengthened and edified, ready to walk in anticipation another day. And I just thank, we just thank you in advance of how, Father, that your heart is going to go forth and your perfect will is going to go forth in our time together. And again, we dedicate this day to you, that your name through each one of us will be exalted and glorified and lifted up. In Yeshua's holy, precious name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You know, have you guys ever stepped out in a belief system and thought, I believe this, so therefore I'm walking this way, okay? And then something comes along that shakes your belief or your thought process, and then you go, wow, maybe I don't believe that. And then maybe you question your faith from it. I mean, you ever been in that position?
And you're talking about biblical right now, just everyday life stuff.
Yeah, like I believe I'm going to go be a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then I went and took some biology anatomy classes, and I figured out, oh, shoot, I don't think I'm going to be a doc.
You didn't want to be a fireman?
No.
All kids want to be firemen, right?
Yeah.
And we've got a living example of a guy that lived that out.
Yeah, 31 years of that. And now, you know, I was a lot. He got me through it until I could turn it over to the young men. You know what? It is a young man's profession, a young woman's profession.
Really?
You don't want to be too old and you know, when everybody's running out, be running in.
But I still believe that there, if there was a fire, you would rescue me.
We would. With his help and his strength, yes. Because, you know, do you ever just feel like, Father, I need your strength because I don't feel altogether that strong right now?
Well, I was just picturing Rick carrying somebody out with one arm and then having the walker in his other hand
because
he's getting older, right?
Well, hey, you know.
Yeah, like his big old bicep pulling me out and one
Arnold.
Arm. Arnold. And then his other bicep working the walker.
Yeah.
Come on, Rick.
Oh,
you would
guys
still rescue me.
You guys are funny.
But I think that's true of everybody, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, everybody has these moments where they're what they trusted to be factual and little t truth kind of dissipates in light of something that's really truth.
Mm.
And it's this continual journey that I think the Father's got us all on to get closer and closer to his truth.
You know, I was just listening to a show the other night. Speaking of strong men, I was listening to the testimony of Arnold. Arnold, yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and so when Arnold came over, everyone told him that he could not be a bodybuilder, but he believed that he could be, okay?
Ah.
And he told them, I'm going to be a bodybuilder. And and his family's going, no, you can't. I mean, how are you going to make money at that? What are you going to do? And Arnold goes, well, I'm still going to do it. And so he did it. And what is he? Seven times Mr. Olympia.
Yes.
One of the most gorgeous bodybuilders that's ever been on this planet, and He did it because he believed, even when he had people, even when his faith was shooken, like he would have times where he says, oh, I don't know if I could do it, you know, but he still kept doing it. He kept walking in the belief that he could.
Mm-hmm. And he's a short guy. He used to come up to Sun Valley when I lived up there.
Yeah.
And he's not
tall. He's not real tall.
No, he is short.
Yeah, but big.
But big. He's big. He's wide.
He's wide.
But not so tall.
Yeah. And then he believed that he could be a Hollywood star. And they told him, no, you can't be a Hollywood star because your muscles are too big and you have a funny accent and you can't act. So he went out and decided, well, I'm going to take acting classes and I'm going to take speak classes. Okay. And so now we all know him as one of the biggest Hollywood stars that's ever been produced.
Well, some people would still say he can't act.
Well, yeah,
I've got to say.
But right? I love him. And yeah, I mean, he's great because if Arnold comes on the screen, I know something's going to be taken care of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, literally.
I mean, he's awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he believed that he could be into politics. And mm-hmm. everyone said, no, you can't be into politics. But he did anyway. So he went down that path of belief, not letting his faith be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of interesting.
Oh, you know what just popped into my mind is this week's Torah portion, Beishalach, and how, the children of Israel come out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, and they get to the Red Sea. And there's this amazing miracle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the creator of the universe parts the Red Sea. What happens next? Hey, we don't have any water to drink.
They start murmuring.
Then, oh, we don't have any food to drink. And then once again, oh, we don't have any water. It's like, would you guys quit whining? But then notice the very next thing, they get in their first war. Do you hear any whining? Do you see any murmuring?
Well, war's fun.
War's fun?
Wait a minute. You're a sicko.
I know.
You've been watching too many Arnold
yes,
movies.
Yes, I have.
I mean, to me, there's a whole microcosm of where's the belief there? What happened that they didn't believe in those things in between parting of the Red Sea and taking care of the other guys? Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Really is.
I'm going to look up in English, so I'm going to beat you on this, and then you are going to look it up in Hebrew, okay?
Yeah.
And then we're going to bring some guests on that might help us with the belief system.
I hope so.
Okay, yes. So in English, believe, it's something you accept as true. Now I find these interesting. It's a verb, and you accept it as true, or you're feeling that it's sure of truth. So it's a feeling. The superintendent believes a student's story. All right? Now, okay. The second explanation of believe is to hold as an opinion. That, to me, was weird. Hmm. I believe we've already met. Okay? It's the opinion that I have or it's something that I choose to believe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the English side of it. It's a verb, it's an opinion, and it's something that you hold true to believe because it's your belief system grounded from somewhere in something or somebody.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So okay. What's the Hebrew side of it? Okay.
Well, if we turn to our Strong's Concordance and look up 539.
Really?
Which, for Hebrew, 539. Oh, man, here we go again. Uh-oh. We brought this up the other day. It's Amon.
Amon?
Amon.
Amon.
Amon. I got to believe that stuff. Amon. Yeah, you should. And I think there's an interesting tie, and I'll take it one step farther.
Okay.
Because as I was following another English description of belief or definition, it also, number two, says on this one, trust faith. Or confidence in someone or something. Wait a minute. That ties faith pretty intimately to belief. And wouldn't you know it, if you go back in the Hebrew to faith, which is the Strong's 529,
okay.
That's emun, E-M-U-N in English.
Emun?
Emun.
Emun.
Which comes from 539 or aman. They come from the same Hebrew root.
Wow.
So then it would seem to indicate that faith is an extension from or an antecedent after belief. It would seem.
Hmm. Okay. Hmm. That's a more fuller picture than the English, wasn't it?
Just a wee tad.
Yeah. But the English is so easier for me to wrap my brain around. Maybe that's because I'm English. I don't know.
Do you have tea and crumpets? I got the tea if you have the crumpets.
I do. I forgot my crumpets.
Dang.
Okay. Speaking of people who are able to produce crumpets and tea and make me feel good that and they maybe have a whole lot of hospitality going on, we have some guests here. Do any one of you guys want to introduce our guests?
We have Tim and Julie Hansen from Christian Renewal Center, CRC, up in the Silverton Hills. Wow. And Tim, Julie, welcome.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how it all started at CLC in a nutshell, because we got to get to a lot of other things.
Well, we started, actually, my folks, Alan and Eunice Hansen, started Christian Renewal Center out of a passion for having people spend time alone with God or with God away from their busy lives in a group setting. So both of those passions were really the foundation of CRC, why they gave up pastoring a local church to do this full time.
Wow.
So you're saying people are too busy? I don't know. I don't ever see any evidence of that myself. Do you guys? I don't know.
No. Yeah, I'm too busy. But most everybody, I think, agrees their life is complex. Mm-hmm. It's full of distraction. And Jesus set the model. He took regular times to get away from ministry.
Yes.
He went up to the mountains by himself early in the morning to be with his Father.
Amen.
And so we are just encouraging people to take that follow that example, and we have all kinds of different ways that they can do that.
So what kind of accommodations do you have up there? How many people? Like, we did a reunion back there in 2009 up there, and these guys were so gracious, and the Karasak family came up. And, man, Tim and Julie and Eunice and were up there. And, Karasak, wow, what a blessing.
Karasak.
So that sounds Russian.
Yes. So are you Russian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you Russian?
I had no idea.
Karasak.
What is that, Julie?
I said we have a lot of Russian people come up here.
Yeah, okay. Do they? They get refreshed, get their spiritual muscles rebuilt and refreshed?
Yeah, we do a lot of things up at CRC. We have personal retreats, but we also have group retreats. We also have a Bible school that we're going to talk about later.
Wow, fun.
So, yeah, it's an exciting place to be. You know, Tim's dad was a pastor for 25 years, and he said people grew more in 1 weekend of retreats than a year of his sermons.
Wow.
And so that's why he really believed in retreats.
Yes.
And he was a good preacher.
Yes, I know. I've had wonderful reports from – we have longtime family friends that were with Pastor Alan and Eunice back in Garden Grove when it all first started. Didn't they start out there?
Yes, absolutely.
And maybe in the 60s maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they were.
Amazing.
Interesting.
Yes.
I've never seen Rick this pumped up before.
Well, I'm excited.
You've talked about Arnold. Now we're talking about the CRC. I think, you know, things.
And his biceps.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
He is so pumped up.
These guys.
We're always giving Rick a hard time. Because for those of you that can only hear us and you can't see us, although, real quickly, I got to say, I'm very, very excited. This is a quick plug.
Yes.
TorahFamily.org is releasing the next Empty Nesters and Beyond version of the wise guys having a conversation this coming Friday.
Oh, wonderful.
So just a quick plug.
Yeah.
But we're all excited about that because those of you that haven't seen Rick, he's kind of a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
Wow. Well,
and he's a retired guy trying to figure out what's happening.
Well, you're never retired. When you have when you have a small farm, you're really never retired because there's always 100 things that you can do.
You see, empty nesters know what to do because there's lots of things to do.
There are lots of things.
There is no such thing as
retired. I've heard
empty nesters and beyond.
I talked to this gentleman not too long ago, and I said, how's the first year of retirement? He said, it's the worst thing that ever happened to me. I don't have anything to do. I said, what? How could that be?
Well, go work at the Christian Renewal Center.
Yeah, there's just so much.
Just send him our way.
Yeah.
We need guys like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so, Steve and Julie, you've been married for how long?
Tim.
Sorry. Yes, Tim. I got to Steve.
I know I did that to you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. Tim and Julie, I mean, you've been married for, what, 10 years or 15 years?
16 and a half years. Where are we going?
30 years.
30 years.
What a blessing. 30
years.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have 6 children.
No way.
You are blessed.
You guys don't look old enough to be doing that. Maybe it's because they're outdoors all the time.
Up in the mountains and retreating and renewing. Yeah. And
fresh air. The water helps. It's good mountain water up there.
Uh-huh. Lots of tea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lots of tea.
And crumpets.
And crumpets. Actually, they do. You know, Rick, to echo what you said, we have an annual retreat up there.
Yes.
We call it the GBFR, the Greater Bergstrom Family Reunion.
Yes.
Because, you know, kids get married and they have other last names, and so we just kind of lump it under that.
Yes.
And it's off of the Thanksgiving weekend because everybody, you know, is vying for that weekend.
Sure.
We try to get in earlier, have mm-hmm. little Thanksgiving. And we have such a blessed time up there every single year.
Wow.
The food is amazing, too.
And you have what? Different lodges, like you have 3 different lodges, is that right? The Shepherd's Lodge? And
a total of 4.
4 lodges. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can house up to how many people?
About 100 at a time would be our
Wow. Yeah. So if you're going to have a reunion, think about the Christian Renewal Center up in Silverton Hills. Is there a website real quick?
Yeah. Excuse me. It's our name, ChristianRenewalCenter.org.
Okay.
Yeah, O-R-G.
So what got you guys doing this? You know, before we come up to the break, I mostly want you guys to delve into why you believed that this was your calling. I mean, because it must be a calling, because I can imagine, let's see, you're up in the hills, you're having to take care of people, you got to feed them, you got to clean up the lodges, you got to clean up after people, you're taking care of them so they can have this wonderful experience. What's your belief system and what got you into doing this? Both of you take a stab at it.
Well, I wasn't raised a Christian.
Okay.
And so when I came to Christ, it totally transformed my life. And so after I came to Christ, I just totally wanted to serve the Lord and help other Christians and bring people to the Lord. And I just saw the need because I didn't have a lot of people surrounding me, having not been in the church. To kind of help me along the way, so to speak, and hold my hand, you know, or encourage me when I'm down or strengthen me. And so to me, it just really means a lot to have somebody come alongside and encourage you in your faith. And lots of people that come up to CRC are at, you know, really poignant times in their lives. Maybe they're making a huge decision, especially our personal retreats, but also our sponsored retreats that we put on. You know, they're making decisions about ministry, about family, about finances, you know. Some have, you know, lost major things. And so they're coming up there to seek God, to get answers, you know, to hear from Him. And we get to be a part of that. Sometimes we pray with them. Sometimes we're just a listening ear.
What a blessing. Yeah.
So
you're like they kind of go up there. They're probably searching. They're looking for direction. Or they're trying to find, you know, they probably, a lot of them have gone through some kind of trauma.
Exactly.
And they're going up trying to, you know, to make sense of it all, I bet.
Yeah. So then that still keeps you motivated? I mean, do you ever get, you know, discouraged or just bored or, you know, going,
way too much to do to get bored.
you know, it strikes me in our topic today with belief and faith, and we've only got about a minute before the break here, but that people come there to help solidify and understand their belief or faith.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I mean, all of us as Christians, I think we could relate to the
place
that sometimes we're struggling. God, where are you in this situation? Mm-hmm. How did I end up here? And how do I get out?
I know.
And so, or we've been faithful and serving to the point that we're just burnt out.
Yeah.
We are just, our tank is empty and we're just like dried out.
Prunes.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
I can see you looking for that.
I wouldn't use that word. Okay.
I like prunes. Not the wrong word. Goes good with tea.
I think I need to go to the Christian Renewal Center.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so before the break, what's your site again?
ChristianRenewalCenter.org.
And it's based out of where? Hang on tight. We'll be right up.
Thank you.
carry me through the darkest night, through the shadow of death into the light.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys, and we are blessed with some guests here. We're going to ask you to kind of hang on to these calls just a little bit until towards the end of this half hour, because we're talking about belief. What gets you moving in your belief, and can your belief ever be shaken? Does it affect your faith? Those sorts of things.
Yeah, and can your belief get in the way of your faith?
Yeah.
What does that mean anyway?
Yeah, so we're going to look at Job just for a second, because I think, guys, there's no better story than Job, who does everything right. He's called a righteous man, and then everything's taken from him.
I was going to say, define better here.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like things went south for him for a while.
Yeah, it went really south, and he's thinking, why do I believe? Why do I believe? And finally, Yahweh shows himself to him, okay? And in chapter 40 of Job, Job says this, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to thee? I lay my hand on my mouth." In some translations, I put my hand over my mouth, mm-hmm. because he's just in awe of Yahweh, seeing his magnificence, right? And then in chapter 42, he goes on and says this, "Then Job answers Yah and said, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted or be stopped. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I've declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask thee, and do thou instruct me."
You know, and you know what's amazing about that is you just said it. Job had lost everything, his health, and all his family and friends said, yeah. "Curse God and die."
Yeah.
Yet Job could say this. I mean, that is pretty amazing stuff there.
So the question I'm having for our guests,
yes,
is when, you know, people come to a retreat center expecting Yahweh God to show himself, okay?
Yeah.
And because maybe they've been shaken.
Mm.
All right. Is this where you guys come into play? And can people find God up at the Renewal Center? Can they be renewed? And how do you help that to occur? Or do you? I mean,
God does it.
Okay.
God does it. And the way he does it at CRC, in great measure, is because people are willing to unplug themselves from all the distractions and to quiet their heart so they can really hear God. God is always speaking to us. He wants to communicate. He's a communicator. He loves to talk.
Yeah.
He loves for us to listen to him. But most of the time, we've got too much going on to hear him.
Oh.
And so that is really, if you want to say, the magic of CRC, or the what makes it a special place, is because people go up there with the intent that I want to hear God. I want to hear what he has to say to me. And I want to do what he says when he speaks.
What do you think, Julie?
Well, you know, sometimes I think we believe lies about God and we don't even know it until we get away and seek him. You know, there's a verse in Job. You're talking about Job. My husband and I just actually finished the book of Job together. And in chapter 14:7, it says, "There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its shoots will not die." And I think sometimes in life, you know, our hope is cut off, or our tree has been chopped, or for whatever reason, health or work or relationships. But you know, when you get away and you seek the Lord and your roots are there, you find out that, you know, your roots really are grounded in the Lord, and you go to the Word, and that's where the truth is, and it sets us free. And so I think that's why so many people's lives are changed, because, you know, people go up there, they get in the Word, they seek the Lord, and they find out that His living water is there for them. So,
you know, people many times would go into the wilderness, okay, and they seek solace. But so what makes CRC so different? I mean, it's like, can't I just go up in any...
Yeah, go camping somewhere, right? Pitch my tent.
I'll be fine.
Camping's great. I love to camp myself, you know. But when people, you know, when people come onto CRC... they're coming to a place where we've been praying, God, we pray that every single person that comes up here will have a personal encounter with You. And I really believe that God, you know, honors those prayers, and that so when people come and with that heart to hear God, and you know, we're talking a lot about, well, there's different ways that people come, right? So sometimes they come just by themselves, but oftentimes they'll come with their church. And so when you're seeking God in the midst of a fellowship of believers, there's strength there in hearing God's voice and in growing in your faith that there isn't when you're all by yourself. So there's all these different facets of that question.
One is the loneliest number that I'll ever do.
Name that group. Call it now. Three Dog Night.
Oh.
70s. Rick, we're dating ourselves.
I sense that.
No, I like that because it takes iron to sharpen iron.
Yes.
It's really good for people to come together as a group, right?
Yeah.
You
know, and so we, some of the things that we have at CRC are are sponsored retreats. So families that, I think of this one family that we have, that have come up many times. Both sides of this family aren't Christian. So when they come up to our Thanksgiving retreat, they say, we want to celebrate what Thanksgiving is really about. It's Thanksgiving to God. We're not just saying, isn't it great to live in America? We want to say, and we want to show that to our children. They have 10 kids. And they choose to come up every year.
Beautiful.
To celebrate Thanksgiving to God for the gifts that He's given.
You know, I would echo something real quick if I could. And that is, when we come up, you know, it saddens our heart, but some of our children aren't believing, aren't following, don't have a, for whatever reason, don't have a clue. The scales are over their eyes. And that's another, even if by osmosis, another way of showing love and, you know, it's okay. We'll take you where you're at, but hopefully help you on the journey, and hopefully He can get you there. Julie, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we have a lot of broken families that come up too, a lot of single moms, a lot of grandmas that bring their grandchildren, and they find, you know, camaraderie, help, strength. We have lots of people that meet other people when they come up there, and denominations are just kind of set aside, and Jesus is lifted up, and they become lifelong friends. I mean, we know people, it's like we hear later that they've kept in touch, they Facebook each other, they're friends, and doing stuff together outside of CRC even, and the neat thing is our guests, they minister to each other. It's not just the speaker or the staff or whatever we have going, but, you know, there's just a real sense of, hey, we're one in the Lord here, and we got to help each other out and pull each other up.
So I imagine you have stories of maybe people coming up that are pretty against each other, and then at the end of the week they come together. I mean, does that happen? I mean, or maybe it goes the other way around.
That happens. Sometimes we have controversial speakers, not usually, but once in a while. And it's really neat to see people resolve that in a spirit of love. I mean, I can hardly think of a time where it hasn't been like worked out by the end of the weekend, and so that's pretty exciting, because we do come from different mindsets or you know, backgrounds, cultures, you know.
You have something, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, maybe Gus would say it, koinonia. It sounds Indian to me.
Are you saying Native American?
Yeah. That would be politically correct. Sorry. Koinonia.
Is that, that's Koinonia. Greek. Greek, yeah, I was going to say, that's a Greek word.
Oh, yes, sounds Greek to me. Yeah. Yes, Greek. That's Greek to me.
Yeah. You know what I like, and we're looking at a brochure that they brought here, a little cut sheet, and it says here, to know him is to love him is to obey him. We couldn't agree more. To walk as he walked.
Yeah.
So tell us about this, whatever, however you want to pronounce it, Bible school that you got started up here.
Yeah, Koinonia, it's the newest thing that we are doing at CRC. We just started it last year. It's a very intimate Bible and learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it, that's the heart of Koinonia. What it's all about is reading the Word. We read the whole Bible in the course of a year. We study major books in depth, and then through all that, undergirding all that, is teaching our students how to hear the voice of God, and again encouraging them that whenever He speaks, He's calling us to instant and complete obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
I like it. You know, it's fascinating because most of the time, you know, we, the wise guys, had just looked up this research, and we'd found out that the Bible is the most purchased and the most
printed
book in all of history. But we've never been able to find the research on how many people actually read it.
Well, that's hard. People have to admit that they don't in order to get the ones that do. So it's
to get that, I think. I mean, people will put it on their stand to show everyone that they have a Bible, or maybe it's on their coffee table or their foyer table. What is it? What's that word?
The foyer.
Hey, yes.
Then you see the in the dust, read me. I saw a picture of that, and it's just covered with dust. And wow, you know, yeah, it doesn't do us any good, does it? Unless we read it and apply it.
Exactly.
Right? Put application to His Word.
So what happens to people when they start to read? Okay, so since you do this, okay. Oh, I got Julie's excited.
Julie's getting excited.
God, great.
Yeah, I love the Word of God. I have many, many Bibles just because I just love it. It transformed my life. But I found a Bible when I was a girl. We rented out a garage, and I asked my parents if I could have it, and they said, sure, you can have it. I mean, we weren't Christians. And I did what you guys are talking about. It just laid in my room. I thought it was cool. It had a little zipper.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got into high school, a friend of mine, she started, you know, preaching to me, and I thought, oh, this is a little much. But she handed me a little New Testament, and I thought, well, I'll underline everything that's good. Well, I wound up underlining the whole New Testament. And then when I eventually got saved, which unfortunately wasn't for a few years after that, but I really fell in love with God by reading the Old Testament. And I love the Old Testament. And so anyway, and that's one reason why we started Koinonia Bible School. We wanted young people to, like, love the Word of God, be excited about God. And because to love Him is to obey Him. I couldn't help but follow God because I loved Him. I didn't want to hurt Him. I thought He was amazing. I saw how the Israelites were, like, turning their backs on God and forgetting who He was. And it was like, God, why did they do that to you? You were so kind. You gave them chance after chance after chance. And it's like, I don't want to be that way. Help me. You know, so so that's one reason why we started Koinonia Bible School.
Well, you know, you and I have some really similar things. I was a Bible teacher hired by a Christian church, and all I did is I only knew the New Testament, okay? And I could never figure out Paul because that's what I'd been schooled in, and I thought Paul was psycho. I mean, I really did. I mean,
a little split personality thing going on.
Like
there,
a really split personality. You know, obey the law, don't obey the law, follow this, don't follow this, I'm free, I'm not free, you know, all those sorts of things, right? And then I was introduced to the Old Testament and the Torah itself, and I was going, wow, grace is all over this place. Okay, it's in the sanctuary, it's in what they did, it's in the burning bush, it's in all those things, it's in His name. So I even, by me even coming to know His name, like Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, gave me a description of God, which was, this is the hand that reaches out, behold your salvation. Hey! Your salvation. So that each one of those letters gave me a finally an understanding to go, God wasn't just God. that I couldn't quite wrap around, but he was a being, living, breathing with a descriptive personality. And I fell in love, and I go, wow, Paul's not psycho.
And I was.
Yeah, I was. And I started drawing all those dots, and they started to come together. So, yeah, when you read the whole thing, it's a wonderful story. It just kind of just outlines itself.
So you've had, two classes then, or one, or how many coining it?
Yeah, so we had our first session. The first year we had two students.
Okay.
Now this next September, we have two students in that have applied. And we're looking – we would like to see at least a half a dozen, mm-hmm. a dozen. We think that would be – a dozen would be perfect. That would be the number of disciples Jesus had. That would be – that's our goal. So.
Oh, that's cool. So
do what? Sorry.
Go ahead.
What's your purpose with those students? I mean, so you get them, and they read, and then what do they do?
And then they go out to disciple their world, and that's the heart that we're after. We're after getting people who are so sold out on what God's glory looks like, what His power can do, that they're willing to conquer and take on anything. They're not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not afraid of the world. They're not discouraged by the things that they see around them, but they feel like, wow, God is with me, so I can make a difference.
Oh, man. So you meet together once a week?
No, they're at our retreat facility full time.
So they live there?
Live on the grounds.
They live there, and so how often do you have classes?
They're 4 days a week.
4 days a week. Oh, so, yeah, like for how long?
That's morning, all morning long, and then some. We have some afternoons as well.
Wow.
Other activities. They have some work duties. They have some planned recreation. We have a major outreach in the middle of the school where they go for 3 weeks to a foreign country to share the gospel.
Ooh, wow.
Last time we went to the Philippines for 3 weeks. Wow.
Yeah. We got to minister to over 10,000 people while we were there. It was National Bible Month in the Philippines, mm-hmm. that the president had declared, so that was pretty exciting. It was just made an open door for us. We spoke to probably 15 schools, but we also did leadership seminars, a women's seminar, a youth rally. We spoke at a funeral. And the students, they got to share their testimony. They got to see what it was like to, you know, evangelize. And they're so hungry over there, and the people are so kind and so full of joy. It was just an awesome experience.
You know, speaking of testimonies, so you look at those two students when they first entered the Bible school, and then when they left, what did you see change? What reactions did they have?
Well, one of them for sure, her life, she had just kind of come back to the Lord. So she totally got grounded in her identity in Christ. It was a total turnaround. But both of them really life changed. In fact, we're still in contact with both of these young ladies. And one was all the way from Texas, a brilliant young woman. And I mean, you couldn't have two more opposite students. I mean, they were just on... You know, one was vivacious and outgoing, and one was an introvert, and their views to Christ and everything. They really learned. And the thing was, is they kind of struggled in the beginning, honestly. But we had them start praying together. They prayed, and they are still in contact with each other. They just they became fast friends after that. So it was
well, you know,
cool.
Relationship is so important. Oh. It seems like it's all about that in one way, shape, or another. We talked about that in past conversations, haven't we?
Yeah, but you guys are still sounding like flowery to me. I mean, it's like
flowery.
Yeah, flowery. Come on, you come over to the camp and get to know Jesus. You know, and you're gonna go out and change the world. But how does anyone make a living? I mean, can I ask that question? I mean, what do people do? I mean, because like the disciples, you're the ones that brought it up. Okay, so the disciples still had to eat. All right.
Yeah.
But yet Yeshua would tell them, hey, go out in twos, you know, and don't take any food with you, and just take your sandals, you know. And, I mean, so in a practical way, how are people feeding themselves if they go out to mission or evangelize or to work for the Lord? That's a tough one. That's
we
a
live
tougher.
In America, you know, and it's not hard to get a job.
Okay.
And really the focus of Koinonia, yes, there could be some people that enter into full-time ministry and they get paid to preach or they get paid to share the gospel. But that's we love people in full-time ministry.
Yeah.
We believe in it and we're in it ourselves. But ministry is whatever you do, wherever you are. If you pump septic tanks for a living, you can have a great ministry.
Oh, man. That's right.
So then by learning scripture, you're giving a person depth and understanding. And so if they go out in their workplace, they should still be able to take that depth and understanding to their workplace, right?
That's right. And we don't just talk about, you know, foo-foo stuff and, you know, isn't God great and happy and everything's always wonderful? You know, I can tell you how many times I thought of running away from CRC and work at Walmart, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have cried so many times, a bucket of tears. I mean, being in ministry is not, you know, always easy or even following God and what he calls of us. I mean, you know, he meets us in the nitty gritty and it's, you know, it's the good, the bad and the ugly. So, and we try to paint that picture that life is not always easy, but the Lord is with you in the midst of it. You know, like we were talking about in Job.
So then your belief has been shaken once in a while, but you still maintain faith?
On a regular basis, yeah.
Okay, so what about money coming in? I mean, is that ever an issue? Like, can CRC actually function? I mean, do you make enough money where – I told you I was a tough guy. Okay.
You just nailed the thing that keeps me on my knees more than anything else.
Okay.
Am I always on my knees? God, how are you going to supply? I'm often there. I'm often,
sure.
Wow, we're not, how can we even survive financially? As those times, I lean on my wife a lot because she seems to have more faith in this area than I do. And just like this last year, I thought for sure we were going to end of the year at least 20,000-30,000 in the red. Mm-hmm. This is how it's shaping up. And we can't do that for very many years until we're out of business.
Right. Exactly.
And Julie said, you know what? I feel like God's put it in my heart that that's going to be different. So.
Well, you know, faith is the things that we don't see, according to Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Belief seems to be something that is affirmed by something. So maybe you guys, you said you flipped it over to Julie. Julie, do you have a different set of belief and faith? Or is this blowing you just a little bit?
No.
She just poked me.
I wonder why you jumped.
I totally agree that God, you know, God provides, you know, where he leads, he provides. You know, and if he's not providing, it's like the first thing we do is check our hearts. Like, God, is there sin in the camp? Are we doing something we shouldn't be doing? I know a few years back we were down to like $5,000 in the bank, and that's not very much when you run off of, you know, 20-something thousand a month. Mm-hmm. And so I was in New York at the time with my daughter, our daughter, visiting places and stuff, and Tim's like, honey, what are we going to do? We were turning water heaters off and someone on staff had cut their pay and I cut mine. And I said, well, when we get home, we need to just fast and pray. And we came home and we fasted and prayed and the Lord showed us some things. And then, you know, we were turning water heaters back on and the Lord provided and, you know,
you,
and there's,
Father.
Yeah, so.
So many of the people that are out there are listening from all over the nation and all over the world. And so please get an understanding of this is Silverton, Oregon. This is the largest state park, an amazing, beautiful place just outside of CRC, ChristianRenewalCenter.org.
Right.
And there are falls. And Roland, you and I have been mountain biking up there. It is a phenomenal retreat place that we highly encourage you to check out.
Yeah, I've been. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of trails, a lot of scenery, a lot of good things. You said, man, I only have a second, but you said it was a second.
welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and we're real blessed here this morning because we have someone from the mountains. We got Christian Renewal Retreat Center people, you know, and telling us about their faith walk and their belief. And, you know, just before the break, Julie had mentioned about maybe, you know, they first have to worry about money coming in so they can open up the doors and keep this thing going. And in passing, she said it really quick, and I don't know if any of you guys caught it, but she said this thing, well, we were praying and weren't sure if there was sin in the camp. And I go, what? What's that? Okay? So what does that mean to you guys? And when it comes to believing you can open up this renewal center and it'll work and having faith that things are going to work for you, why would you even mention something like that? And do you want to address that?
Well, you know, the story of Achan and, you know, the Israelites just had this great victory, right? Jericho had it just went into there and the walls came down, and God is very specific about how we're supposed to follow Him. And, you know, blessing follows obedience. And, you know, the Lord had put on my heart to start a coffee shop. We call it the Lamppost at CRC.
And
it was kind of a neat thing, but I'd asked the Lord about this, and our board wasn't sure if it was a waste of money. Should we do that? And I said, well, what if God would provide an espresso machine, a commercial one, or give us the money for one, $2,500. Would you see that as a sign from the Lord between now and next month that maybe we should do this? And they were like, sure, okay, yeah, we can do that.
Roll in.
And we like coffee.
Who wouldn't, right? Yeah, we like coffee. Some of us do, yeah. And the funny thing was I didn't even drink coffee at the time. But yeah. So anyway, that next week, somebody donated to the center a commercial espresso machine. So it was like, wow. But there were still some very strong people in my family even that didn't want to do this. And so I'm like, really shaking in my boots. Like, God, is this really you? I mean, it would cost money to do this. And then I finally just felt like, yes, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I just can't disobey even if it goes against, you know, what other people think. And so I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I walked out the door. I went next door to the lodge. And somebody that we had just met that week, it was a personal retreat guest, he said, you know what, I just feel led to give you this. And he handed me a check, and it was for $2,500. And I just felt like, wow, okay, we're doing it.
Yeah, God answered double.
God answered double. He answered both those prayers, and within a period of 2 weeks. So the thing is that we didn't do it. You know, we let things get in the way. And so a few months later, we were down to this place where, wow, we don't even have, you know, we need to turn water heaters off. I mean, that's pretty desperate. And so when I came home from New York to fast and pray, the Lord put on my heart, you know, you didn't do that thing I asked you to do. And, you know, some people, they say, wow, does God really speak that way? Would He really punish you for something like that or discipline you? God does discipline His people.
Well, and I got to interject.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. For a coffee shop? Some people have got to be thinking, right, a coffee shop. Once a coffee shop at the CRC.
I guess it's pretty important. You know, lots of conversations happen down there. lots of prayer. It's a fun place, and we just love it. But anyway, so We were working out the budget like right after that. This was like September. We were praying. I was working on the budget in October, and I said, honey, can I do the budget this time? Because usually he works on it. He's got the brains here. So he said, sure, okay. So I'm sitting in front of my fireplace. I'm working on the budget, and I'm saying, okay, God, by faith, that $2,500, I'm putting it in there for our coffee shop. And, of course, I'm kind of looking on my Facebook at the same time because, I don't know, I get bored crunching numbers. It's just not my thing. And I literally, I had just wrote that $2,500 in, and a friend of ours, Facebook, messages me, and she says, hey, whatever happened with that coffee shop you were going to do? Because I had told her and a few people, like, hey, this is the next thing we want to do. And I said, well, it's funny that you should mention that because I was just working on the budget, and I put it in there. It's just a little tiny bit, but it'll get us started. And she goes, well, how much is that? I said, $2,500. She goes, well, how much would you want to really do it how you want? And I'm like, is she like wanting to help out with this? God, are you doing something here? I don't know. But I just thought, what do I put down? And the number that popped in my head was 10,000. Man, 10,000 would really do it. So I thought, oh, okay.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So I typed in there $10,000. Well, I went on with my life. I didn't hear for a couple weeks, and I thought, oh, she probably, maybe she took that wrong. I don't know. But I just got I don't know, I don't remember now if she Facebook messaged me or called me, but she said, $10,000, it's in the mail. And I was like, what?
Thank you, Father.
Wow. I mean, God loves to bless us. You know, it was just over the top. And so that was pretty exciting. And so we got our coffee shop. You can come visit us. We'll even make you a latte.
I did a little research about coffee shops when we did this. And we discovered that coffee shops kind of have a reputation for being, you know, kind of countercultural, kind of like on, you know, the rebellious edge. And what we feel like happens at the coffee shop is people start scheming about ways that they can, you know, overcome the world, that they can further the gospel in, you know, kind of ways that run counter right to the culture. And I think that's why God was kind of like, yeah, I think you should have a coffee.
It seems like if we believe in the little things,
yeah,
right? I mean, a coffee shop, and that's the point I was getting to earlier. Really, a coffee shop? It's a little thing. It's, I mean, if it didn't happen, it wouldn't be the end of CRC. But he obviously wanted to it to happen. You know, on the witness of two or three, everything will be established, mm-hmm, right? Well, look at how many repetitions of things, quote, coincidences that happened. Right? Okay. So you're supposed to do that. So you step out in faith. Rick?
That's right. So. No, it's just a testimony that, you know, our Father owns it all.
That's right.
So, and how it seems like how we think so small sometimes, don't we? And we all we all underestimate His awesomeness.
Well, we all have belief systems. Okay,
yes,
so let me throw in a kink again. Okay, so Simon comes to the house where Yeshua is ministering, and some lady walks up and breaks open a huge bottle of perfume that costs a whole lot of money. And Simon looks at that and goes, shoot, how dare she waste that money on something so frivolous? Okay, and Yeshua says, hey, you know, she's recognized that I'm only here for a short time, right? Mm-hmm. And she's here to honor me. Not seen. And so a belief system like Simon's belief system might have been a little bit narrow and going, well, that is a waste of money. And we would all agree, yeah, that's a waste of money. And there might be some people out here right now listening, really? Like Gus said, a coffee machine? That's a waste of money. But then notice what you had said, okay, that there maybe needs to be a place where people discuss and move, and maybe creating even a more of a mission field that we don't always recognize. See, God's kingdom, Yahweh's kingdom, is bigger than our own perceived idea of what His kingdom might actually look like. So therefore, your belief system might be shaken just a little bit, and you might challenge you some. Okay, so some of us out there who maybe have a belief system of don't waste money, maybe you just got challenged right now. Okay, and maybe you're going to want to call in and talk to us later about that at
503-589-1220.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did we just shake you up some? And if so, how?
We hope so. That's part of our goal, right? Well, you know, I'd like to go back in our remaining minutes and really talk about the CRC, the center, the retreat, the area, because I know I think when I go up there, boy, it'd be such a hoot. It would be so restorative to live up here. And I'm sure, you know, obviously, you're working your fingers to the bone while everybody else is relaxing. I get that.
We're having a good time, actually.
But we'd like to know more about what do you have to offer. I know for me and my family, getting on that swing is just like one of the highlights of our recreational experience.
A swing?
Oh, yeah. Zip line. He's talking about the
zip line. Zip line.
Well, maybe that's why this guy looks buff. How old are you anyways?
Oh, I'm 60.
Yeah. Really? You look pretty good for 60. Gus, I think he can take you on a mountain bike ride.
Oh, you'd probably beat me.
Yeah.
You're in awful good shape.
Awful. You're right. Awful shape.
Yeah, so tell us more about that. I mean, Gus, I mean, he asked you, I mean, tell us more about the retreat center,
what,
right?
What do you offer? Tell people what is there
What's
to
all
do?
There?
What,
yeah. Yeah, so... well, we have this zip line, right? So, people love to ride that. And, it's amazing to me that, you know, people that, this one guy, came up, he was with a group of, people from a nursing facility. Actually, the activities director of this nursing home brought her clients up.
Oh, wow.
And he rode our zip line without any legs. He's 92 years old. We got a wheelchair up to the zip line. We got him on, and he rode the zip line at 92. And so that's
cool.
Somehow that's funny to me, and I can't think of a song. Can you think of a song?
I'm not even going to try. Well, and I can echo that because my 80-year-old mother, she'll be 81 shortly.
Stop!
She went once. She went again. Then she went a third time. It was like, Ma, you got to quit doing this. There's kids here that want to ride the zip line, right? But, I mean, we play Frisbee up there. We have fires. You know, I got to say, and I'm looking at some of the photos on the ChristianRenewalCenter.org website, and there's some mighty tasty food. I mean, amazing.
They do
food,
a
really.
Great job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who is the cook?
Actually, Julie and I cook breakfast on Saturday morning.
Okay.
So
how hard is oatmeal? I mean, come on.
It's the easiest meal there is. That's why we do it. But we have a great head chef, and she's our director of food service. Her name's Amanda Baird, and she's been with us last year. And so she puts – yeah, we have a wonderful staff that works along together, and we do all our own shopping. We come up with all our own menus, and – we have some classics that we just homemade soups that we do on Saturday afternoon or Saturday for lunchtime, and Dakota bread. That's our best homemade bread that we have. Oh yeah, we do homemade bread at every time we have bread. Really? It's always homemade.
We had to quit bringing snacks. You know, normally when you go to a retreat place, you bring your own snacks. We usually bring a whole handful of kids, you know, two arms full. Yeah. And we don't have to because we're so full. It's like, oh, are we going to eat again? Yeah, it's really great, but I'm still stuffed. Hey, and we just went hiking. So there's a lot to do. There's great food. And it is truly a restorative place where you can recreate and then restore relationship with each other and with the Father.
Is it affordable? I mean, what does it look like for people? Should I ask that question?
Oh, this is what I love about CRC. Yeah. It's really reasonable compared to other for guest group activities. You can compare us with other camps, and you'll find that we're a bargain. But the thing that I love in the ministry of CRC is that all the retreats that we sponsor are Thanksgiving Day retreat, Memorial Day, Labor Day, New Year's. Our 2 weeks of summer camp, all of those retreats and scrapbooking retreat for women, women's retreat, a couple's retreat, they're all given on a donation basis. Mm-hmm. So we suggest an amount that's pretty reasonable, but if people are in financial straits, they can't afford it for one reason or another, we just say, come anyway. We're a ministry to the body of Christ. We're a ministry to people that want to seek God, and so that's how we do. And we also do that for our personal retreats. So when people come up just by themselves or with their spouse or with their family to pray and fast or just pray, and eat.
eat, pray.
With our life to do, eat.
Yeah. So, you know, we've gone over our time with you, and we so appreciate the fact that you've taken this extra time. I do have to say one thing, and I know because you're so out there in the mountains and the woods that sometimes your internet and phone connectivity is a little bit of a challenge.
Good.
So people should not give up. You know, the That's website, right. You can always get to the website and get the information. Just realize that they're out in the sticks. So, and it by design, right?
That's right, yeah. And, yeah, we're actually proud of the fact that you can't get cell service.
It's great.
CRC. Oh. It's one of those distractions that a lot of people feel, you know, it's a little tough for them at first. But once they get used to the idea that I don't have to check my phone all the time, wow, they really find that that's a blessing.
That's Absolutely. Cool.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys. Oh, yeah. Be blessed. Rick, give a blessing over these.
Father, you are so good. Thank you for this ministry that's that Tim and you've placed Tim and Julie, Father. You've laid it on their hearts to be an extension to your people. Father, that place, by experience, we know that it's kind of a refuge for people that are hurting and are just questioning what you're trying to do in their lives. We just pray as your people that you'll just continue your hand just to be, and may your anointing just be over this family, Father, in this ministry, that your people, as a result of these folks is making themselves available, that your people will be nourished and strengthened and edified and ready to go another season with you. And we just thank you in advance how you're doing that. In Yeshua's holy name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So long, farewell, Peter, saying goodbye.
Is that in?
Goodbye.
What is that in? Psalms or where?
Sound of Music. Come on.
Song of Songs. That's what it is. Then.
Yeah. You know, can't you see them waving on the stairs to all the guests? Don't you watch Sound of Music? What's wrong with you?
It's a
classic. I know what you're talking about. In fact, we stayed in the Scandinavian Lodge, the Heritage Lodge, last time we were up there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you ever stay in the Shepherd's Lodge?
Is that
That's the
up
biggest
the
one, right?
No, we haven't stayed at that one.
That is a neat one, too. And there's like, what, how many bedrooms, real quick? Like six or seven?
Nine
bedrooms. So if you have a family, what a great
it's
way to...
It's just like Sound of Music up in the Alps of Silverton Hill.
It is so neat. Yeah, book your getaway with ChristianRenewalCenter.org.
You got it. Thanks again, you guys. Blessings on you.
Thank you.
All right, so hey, Rick, we're going to keep on talking about this belief and faith, all that kind of stuff, you know. And Rick, have you ever been challenged at times within your own life to where maybe you had a belief and your belief was shaken?
Yeah.
And that in turn affected your faith. I mean, has that happened?
I mean,
to you?
Even I think all of us, you know, we have little inklings of time where we really question, Father, and I'm going to ask you back, Ron, do you ever just feel inadequate, like you're just not measuring up, like you're just, I'm asking you that because...
Hang on, we have a call that's coming in. Let's go ahead and bring them online here with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. Who's on the line with us and what's your question or comment for us?
My name is Elisa.
Hi.
And I want to comment on your topic.
Good.
I had a time when my faith was really shaken, and I'll just say that Messiah brought me through to the other side miraculously. I was questioning whether, I was new to following Torah, and I was in a very, very dangerous situation, and I was believing that he would bring me out, but then I reached a place to where I was really questioning, and he brought me out, but I ended up going through the wilderness, and I was with my family, and they would do things like sneak and give me pork, and somebody was praying for me, and I wanted my own apartment very, very bad, and I was given a word from Yah, I was given a word, and I was told that I would get my own place, but I would be in the wilderness for a while, but I would eventually get my own place. And I believed, but I reached a point in time when I questioned whether it would ever come to pass. But eventually I got my own place, and I reached, and I was able to walk in Torah. I'm still believing that I will be brought to a place where I could be among his people, and that hasn't come to pass yet. But when I got my own place, I was miraculously provided for. The state of North Carolina actually helped me get most of my furniture and most of the items for my kitchen. I am blind, and they actually provided me a talking microwave, Braille labeler, Braille writer, and everything I needed to start my life in my new apartment. And it was all to the glory of Yeshua, and I just praise Hashem. I mean, it was all miraculous. So when we are at the point of doubt, we just have to look up to the hills from whence cometh our help. And I believe just now, while we are scattered and we are, captives in Babylon here, and we are at the point of doubt, that he will bring us together again. And it's just that the time has not yet come, but our redemption will come.
Amen. I love your testimony, Alyssa. Thank you so much for giving that to us. I mean, it's we are told to give testimony to one another in order to boost each other's strength. And I'm sure your testimony just did that.
You encouraged us, Alicia. I so appreciate you. Thank you for calling in.
Well, Alicia, and I've got one thing. Yes. I just kind of caught the tail end there, but a talking microwave. I didn't even know that was possible. Yeah, that is so cool.
I love it.
I didn't learn until a few years ago, because usually we have to get help for someone to help us out to label them in Braille or whatever. But I was given a talking microwave.
What a blessing. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. So
bless you.
I thank God for your show and for the Hebrew Nation Radio. And this has been such a blessing to me, because, technology can be a thing that is not very good, but yet technology has been used to bring me closer to his people.
Amen.
So I praise his name.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you. Bless you,
Shalom.
Alicia.
Shalom.
Wow, that so encouraged me, you know.
Really?
That our sister can praise him, even though she was doubting, and, as we learn, as we walk this journey, we realize that faith doesn't come by the calendar, does it? It doesn't matter how long it takes. His time is always perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, and he speaks to a number of persons.
Yes.
Persons just like our guests here today. They aren't necessarily walking in the Hebrew faith, so to speak.
Yeah,
but they have a belief and they have a faith in Yahweh, and he keeps whenever they are lacking, he fills their nets again, and they throw those nets over. It's interesting for us to talk about how many different people that are out there that have different belief systems.
Yes.
But actually are met in faith by Yahweh, and we want to get into that.
How is a belief system different than just belief? How would you describe that?
That's where we need to get into, I think, in the next half hour. We've talked about belief, and what's that question we asked at the beginning of the show?
Well, do our beliefs, or does our belief, get in the way of our faith?
Wow.
Boy, that's right in our faith, isn't it?
Yeah, right in our faith.
Boy, in the faith? Like a pie in the face.
Oh, gosh.
What got you up this morning?
My tea. Yeah. Like my tea.
So when we come back, we want to encourage you to call in like Alyssa and talk to us about your story here and testimony.
503-589-1220.
Yeah.
We need to hear from you. Guy, this like Alicia, she so blessed us. We need to hear these testimonies. Have you ever had a time that it just didn't feel like he was there?
Oh yeah.
If we've walked it long enough, we've all been there.
Oh,
if you haven't been walking it that long, maybe you haven't.
Yeah.
But boy, It's you really know your taste, your faith is tested. Don't go away.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Once again, you are back with the Three Wise Guys, and we are so glad to be here with you. In this conversation where we're talking about beliefs and faith, we've been talking about koinonia. Thank you. And we're still wrestling with this whole, boy, does belief get in the way of our faith, and what are the two, and...
Yeah, we've heard some really positive stories here about people. I mean, when you look at the Renewal Center, these are people that moved out in a belief.
Yep.
And they started walking in faith, and the Lord and Yahweh has provided with them on a daily, monthly, yearly basis. We also got to hear a lady that called in, and we got to hear her story about how she had to believe and walk in faith. Mm-hmm. But what happens when your belief is so shaken that you do lose faith? Now, remember, there is a difference between belief and faith. Gus was starting to fill us in on that. I had given you the English definition of belief, which is a perceived idea or something that you take on, not necessarily by fact, but by opinion. Okay? So you maybe believe something as an opinion because this is the way you've always done it, or this is the way you've heard it to be done. Therefore, you believe it to be true. Okay, so maybe you're a Hebrew out there and you believe something to be certain, and then that certainty gets shaken, or maybe it's put in doubt. And then you go, well, I don't know if I should have faith anymore, because maybe I believe that Yahweh gives me good gifts just because I ask. Okay, and then it doesn't happen. And then you go, well, then there must not be a God. There must not be Yahweh. But then Gus was bringing in the Hebrew side of this, the Hebrew understanding of belief and faith. Do you remember what that was?
Well, I'm going to actually go back and key off of what you were just talking about.
Okay.
And I'm thinking if our belief is shaken, does it necessarily have to shake our faith? And maybe belief is more, I'm looking around, it's more, I believe that this certain tenet because of the facts around me that support it.
Okay.
And as that belief changes because I notice different facts or other things are revealed to me, it doesn't have to necessarily change my faith.
I have faith in
the one God.
Right. So why would it attack my faith?
Exactly. And back when I was a Sunday Christian, I still believed in that same one God. I've got a different perspective and different beliefs surrounding getting to that faith. I don't know if I described that well. But.
No, I love it because, I mean, typically when you're in a culture of denominationalism or a culture of belief, you'll have a tendency to believe what that culture wants you to do. So like, take, for instance, we're in more of a culture right now that has a name for God, and we use that name constantly. But then there are others that have all kinds of different names. Okay.
Well, some say Lord, some say God, and that's all they use for our creator. And, you know, that's where most of us came from.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean, you know, now we see things a little differently, which is, you know, it doesn't mean we burned the bridge we came across on. Mm-hmm. but we
or anyone else that's going across
the
bridge.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or
it's somebody that's just coming that doesn't have our perspective. We just got to be so careful to be really, you know, gentle and kind with ones that don't see it exactly how we, you know, see it now.
As we would hope someone would be with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it goes both ways.
It does. The bridge walks both ways.
Thank you. It's attached
on
both
sides. Yeah, come from both ways.
Those bridges that go out to the middle and stop over the water, those I don't like so much.
No, I stay off those bridges.
Unless there's a fishing hole on the other side, then maybe.
And I can cast in?
So maybe we should talk about that just a minute, because I actually fell in love knowing the name of God. Because the name to me wasn't that I'm trying to set anyone else straight on calling him the right name.
Right, yeah.
It just is, I myself was wanting to know if God was really personal. Mm-hmm. And so when I found out the meaning in a Hebrew name of him, and I all of a sudden got a picture of what he does in the name.
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Then I said, wow, this isn't just generic. So to me, it helped me in my faith walk, where another person, they might not need that, but I needed that.
Sure. And explain what that is again for people that didn't hear it before.
Okay, so like,
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh,
that was the name given at the burning bush for Moses could understand what he was about to do. Okay? So Yod, that's the outstretched hand. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
And Hey, that's the picture of someone speaking through a window. Hey! And it has to do with salvation or redemption. And the Vav is that clenched nail. And it's a picture of a Hebrew nail. And if you look at the whole thing, hey, here's this outstretched arm. Behold your salvation.
Yes.
Through a clenched nail, you're to be redeemed. So the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. So
our Mashiach, our Messiah, is in that name.
It's in that
the
picture.
Nail that held him on the tree.
Right.
Yeah, wow. I mean, yeah. It all had. That's
it
what
made
I,
sense to me.
I love the ancient Hebrew because each letter has a picture.
Right.
And it's simple, and I like simple.
I like simple.
I do too.
And I only needed that not to correct anybody about a proper name.
Right.
But for me, it said, okay, I can have faith because this name isn't just some thing I can't wrap around.
Okay, so when you went there, when you found that understanding, did that change a belief?
Not really.
Okay.
Because I always knew there was a God.
Okay, so you knew there was a God, and now you had a more personal experience with him, or how would you describe that?
It was more descriptive to me. So my belief became stronger, which on the flip side strengthened my faith.
Okay, so it strengthened your belief and then your faith. And then as that was occurring, I would imagine there were other things you found out that changed your belief or maybe enhanced it to the point where you ended up at a different belief system in some ways than where you came from.
Well, yeah, because I used to always believe that the God in the Old Testament was mean and nasty.
You'll get with the beard, that one?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And the guy in the New Testament is really cool, okay?
Yeshua was the kind.
The kind and cool, yeah.
And then
and Yahweh was the mean and vindictive.
Wow.
How did that change?
Or the judgmental.
How did that start to
by getting to know his name.
Okay, and then describe that more. Okay, so you knew his name. How did that change?
Well, his name told me that he's working on my salvation. He's redeeming me. He's pulling me out of my confusion and out of my sin. Mm-hmm. So basically the same way was true before the Ten Commandments, okay? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage, Egypt.
Yes.
Okay? So that means I have an active. This God in the Old Testament's active, okay? And that there's a picture there, and he's doing it through his son, Yeshua, and he's doing it through all these things in order to redeem me. Mm. He's doing his very best to bring me back. So I'm getting excited about that, and I'm going, okay, he's not out to be vindictive. He's out there to be restorative.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at it, how many times in the scripture, I know there's a number, does it talk about his name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those that call on the name.
Yeah, it's got to be something to it.
And yeah, I mean, so names mean something, don't they?
They really do. And I think it's somewhere around in the average interpretation around 6,200 times Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his
that's
name.
A that's a lot.
6,200
yes,
times.
Yes, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
It's a lot. So
it's a lot.
Even if we don't come to an understanding of his name is still an outreaching hand coming at us. Mm-hmm. So like the Christian Renewal Center, they've sought him. Mm-hmm. And he still works with them so they can have more people seek him.
Amen.
So everyone's on a journey, as we've said so many times, right?
Yeah.
And it's not up to us to judge where somebody else is
Thank
on
you.
That journey.
Exactly.
It really isn't.
We're, yeah. So much that, you know, we can learn from our brothers and sisters that see things a little different. And we all mm-hmm. have a little piece of the puzzle, don't we?
Yeah.
And I love that.
So one of those little pieces of the puzzle for me was, you've heard of the Hallelujah Choir.
Hallelujah.
You mean the Hallelujah Chorus?
Chorus. I mean, I'm
Hallelujah.
Sorry.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, chorus. And
Rick knows it. I love you.
Well, my daughter played it in the state capitol, and you know, all the choirs were there, and she had to play that. And I go, wow. You know, all the echoes and stuff. And
yeah. Uh-huh.
So no, I know that song well.
Written by Handel. And I've heard on, in fact, just the other night on, it was on Netflix, what was it? It was some Masterpiece Theater. And
yes.
Somebody said Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And, right. And, okay. And the Pentatonix have a song that somebody else wrote, you know, Hallelujah, uh-huh. and they go off and sing that.
Oh, and I love it.
Nice, and how many people nice really know what it means? I never knew what it meant. And so as I started to study the Hebrew, and Yah put on my heart that even that's a phrase that we use. You know, he told me, he made me search out the Hebrew. I realized that, oh, wait, I've known Hebrew all along, didn't even know it. Hallelujah, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yah, and that's tying into Rollins' description of personal.
Yes.
Like, Yah, what's Yah? So I start searching that out. Oh, if my name were James, you might call me Jim.
Yeah.
If it was Robert, you might call me Bob.
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 Okay. So if we have the creator who has said, you know, Ahiya, Asher, Ahiya, I am that I am, and my name, here, tell him that, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And whether that's pronounced Yehovah or
exactly.
Yahweh, we aren't exactly sure. But what would be short for that? More personal, more intimate. Yah. Hallelujah. That made it really personal for me.
And you know what? That hallelujah is the same in every language.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have – it's the same. So that never changed.
So maybe maybe that can strengthen my belief.
Yes.
And therefore strengthen my faith.
Well, yeah, my dad, he lived with me the last 8 years of his life. But point being, he learned his name at 89. He says, I just can't tell you how much closer I feel to him, our creator, now that I know his name. And, you know, I mean, so.
But what do you do with a person that,
if
their belief system is still strong?
And that's so, okay. Yeah.
So let me give you an example. One of my cousins.
Okay.
He's from my wife's side. Okay. And she always grew up knowing him as Willie.
Willie.
Okay. And Willie was fun. I mean, Willie was a blast. And that was her most favorite cousin, okay, because Willie was cool. And then I got to know Willie, like, in college, and I agreed. Willie was fun. He was a blast. He was awesome.
This was Uncle Willie?
No, it's a cousin.
Cousin Willie. Cousin
yeah,
Willie.
He gave out hugs. He liked to tell jokes, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, then a few years later, okay, his wife decided that he needs to be more regal.
He needs to be serious.
And so a note came out to all the family that Willie did not want to be called Willie anymore. He wanted to be called William.
Ooh. Oh, going back to his formal name.
Yeah. And we all understood why he wanted to be William. But we all said to each other, well, to us, Willie is just always
He's always going to be Willie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard to go back, isn't it?
And so that's the other side of the bridge that I think we need to bring up that Gus brought up. Everyone always thinks it's just because a belief starts you over a bridge and you're on this journey to be right does not mean that someone else on the other side of the bridge or even has gone over the bridge isn't right also.
Exactly.
Okay. So basically, you know, God to them can still have all kinds of personal pictures that's been with them for a long time.
Right.
And so when they say the name God, their inward spirit is still saying, they still see the picture of his magnificence.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even though that maybe I needed to hear Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or maybe you need to hear Jehovah, or someone needs to hear that. Maybe that's a new picture that he's putting on in you so you can experience him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
Well, now, I love the Hebrew language because some words in Hebrew will have six or seven different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they don't, like in English, it might mean one or two things, or but not a lot more than that, different words. But so much, you know, so much to glean, huh?
It is. So you mentioned the Hebrew, and you know, we still got some time, so if you don't mind, let's go there.
Yes.
Another one that many people don't even realize they're saying that's Hebrew is Amen.
Or Amen.
Amen, as we would say in English, right?
Yeah.
So what's the translation of that?
I want to know. Inquiry minds want to know.
Amen.
Amen. So be it.
So be it.
Let it be so, right? So be it.
Let it be
that
said.
Establishes.
Let it be written. That's from the movie Ten Commandments. So let it be said.
So when we pray, then we, amen. So let it be so.
May it be so. And it's
makes sense.
It's fascinating that may it be so, faith and belief all come from that same root of aman, to have belief.
No way.
539.
No way.
Amen. Amen. Aman.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how we would say our prayers differently if we always ended our prayers with the descriptive words.
Like what? Describe that.
Well, we would say, Father, thank you for today, and I want you to be with me today, and I want you to bless me. So let it be done.
So please let that be done.
So be it.
So rather than saying amen or amen, you would just say, and so let it be done.
Yeah. That's
what
there's a
difference.
Confidence in a belief. I'm trying to think like a more of a concrete this is going to be.
Oh my word.
Let it be so.
So if I'm praying for somebody else, rather than saying just amen without even knowing what amen means, if I pray for you, Rick, and go, man, Father, please bless Rick and be with him today and bring him back to the fold. Bring him back to the faith. So let it be done.
Yeah. Amen. I like that.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if those all come from belief, does that point us, using the English side of our brains, that belief is a trust in some thought pattern for whatever reason, from the facts that we see, from maybe it's emotion. Because, you know, we got that whole aspect of belief, which is so tied to emotion, that the belief helps us establish or question, perhaps, depending on the information, our faith. Now, there are some things that I think all of us question within faith.
Of course.
But we would hope that in our progression to becoming more mature, there's some things we're done questioning. We're over questioning it, right? Mm. There's one creator. I'm so over questioning that anymore. I know absolutely.
You know that you know that there is one creator. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about belief and emotion, there's a lot of people who believe, and we've all come from this, that maybe you went to a church body or maybe you went to a fellowship and somebody hurt you, you know, and you come to the belief that everyone in that body or everyone who believes that way are all nasty and I'll never step foot in that place again, or I'll never step foot with those people again, I think what happens is if you tie into that for too long, could your faith actually be shaken? Because you're believing something that's an opinion.
Well, you're believing a lie because we know we're not all alike.
No.
You're right. I mean, you know, there are all those people in the church or with the Christian faith.
Wherever.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
Well, we know that's whether you say all men are the same or all women are the same. No, we're not.
We're not all the same
because
Gus is different than me. And
we're all unique.
And you're different and I'm different than you. And
yeah, thank goodness we're all unique.
Some of us are more different than others.
Some of us, no doubt about it.
Hey, we replay, I think, at 10 o'clock tonight. I just got a text saying, hey, please mention that over the air so that other people can hear and remember to listen if they only caught the second half or a portion.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock tonight, I believe, on Hebrew Nation Online.
And you can call in. You could hear it. Mm-hmm. If you want to call this number, 605-562-9746. Hear Hebrew Nation Live. 605-562-9746. 9746. Put that in your favorites. If you click it if you have unlimited minutes and listen.
Or go to Hebrew Nation Online or Radio Online, and you'll find the show there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, speaking of this belief and faith thing, what if someone has unbelief?
Ooh, unbelief.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I don't believe in anything.
He can't.
Well,
the Creator can't transform that person. The Creator can't transform me. Mm-hmm. I'm the way, you know.
But that's a belief.
That's what the enemy wants you to believe.
But that's a belief.
Yes.
Everyone has a belief.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as an unbelief.
They believe something. Everybody believes something. Everybody believes something.
Then the taught ones came to Yeshua. This is Matthew 17:19 and 20. Then the taught ones came to Yeshua by himself and said, "Why were we unable to cast him out?" This demon, right? And Yeshua said to them, "Because of your
unbelief.
For truly I say to you, if you have belief as a mustard seed, very, very small seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and no matter shall be impossible for you."
Wow.
Yeah, well, the context in there, they have an unbelief towards the Messiah. They do have a belief towards themselves.
But is that a belief, not having an unbelief towards Messiah?
Yeah, that's still a belief.
Really?
I don't believe there's a Messiah would be an unbelief.
Or maybe that isn't as strong a belief as it should. Then it isn't really an unbelief.
Yeah, because at least they're asking the question. So if they're asking the question, then they realize there's something wrong with their belief system. So,
I wonder
why
they believe that.
I don't know.
Because they do believe that. Oh, you guys.
We scare you.
It's a beautiful morning.
Well, no, I think it's important to think about, and I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm not either.
Oh, no.
You're not disagreeing with yourself? I think that we need to look at belief and unbelief as the same, different sides of the same coin, right?
Yeah.
It's a different intensity, perhaps, and my belief shouldn't shake my faith. It should help mold it and grow it. But I can have all sorts of different beliefs as I go through life, as I grow and learn and have experiences.
The text that you bring up is a perfect example of that.
Well, thank you.
It is because they went out in a belief thinking they could cast out a demon. They found out that they couldn't do it. So rather than their faith being shaken, they came back to the very one who sent them out.
Yes.
Okay, so they still had faith in him. By having faith in him, they went and asked, "Well, what's wrong with our belief?" And he's going, "Well, you have a problem with your belief." And then they're going, "Well, what kind of belief do we need?" And he goes, "Well, something as small as a mustard seed." Something as small as a mustard seed. What does that mean? Okay. So then they have to check their belief at the door. Notice the word? They have to check their belief at the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that belief now has to go, "Hey, I need Yeshua for me to cast out this demon. It's not me."
So is that more faith?
Yeah.
More faith. And how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word.
By doing.
By doing, yes. But you got to hear. And there's something, you know, you have to do something. You have to hear.
Well, and let's take that a step. We talked to a lady that doesn't have vision.
Right.
Talk to people that don't have hearing. Hearing by looking at the book and reading it is also hearing. Observing others doing the right thing is also hearing.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, like doing his word. Be a doer of his word, not just a hearer.
Yeah, and that's what Julie and Tim were talking about.
Yeah.
Obey.
Action.
Obey.
Action. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I'm going to get everything right, and we're all going to have a slightly different belief about certain aspects of our faith, but that doesn't mean we walk away from faith. It should grow our faith and our relationships.
Oh, man.
So when our belief is shaken, just step forward anyways.
Persistence.
And say amen, like, "So let it be done."
So be it.
So be it.
Hey, I'm going through a trial. So be it. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to realize that, what does Abba say? "Those I love, I chasten."
Yeah, I
see. And just like we did with our children when they were young. If you didn't care about them, you'd just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you love them so much, you have to correct them.
Yeah.
And we all need, sometimes we'll get a little off and we need to be corrected, don't we?
Yeah.
Because none of us have arrived. There was one that arrived, and he laid one that had arrived, and he laid his life down. And
Yeshua came walking across the water. Peter says, I want to do that. Get me out of the boat. I want
to
walk on the water.
Me, Peter.
And so he gets out. He must be believing, but then he looks at all the circumstances.
As soon as he started looking around.
And then he started to sink.
Then he sunk.
Mm-hmm. But he still had faith to put his hand up so Yeshua could lift him up out of the water, and he still got back into the boat, which means he got to walk on the water again. That's what it means. So he believed. He lost his belief. He still had faith.
But he reached up. He lost everybody.
Shalom.
The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines. The darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of God.